Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 87. Yeah, Krishna speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Is that right? Chitraketu speaking? No. The Supreme Lord speaking to Chitraketu. Is that right? About how... Sri Sankarsana, Lord Sankarsana, speaking to Chitraketu on the topic that Jnana and Karma Yoga are both actually aimed at the personality of Godhead. That was in 86. Now let's see what 87 says. Ata eva tadamsha twain iva brahma shriyate. I think we read this. We didn't read the commentary? Okay, we'll read it again then. Ata eva tadamsha twain iva brahma shriyate. Aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhuta bhavana shabda brahma param brahma mamo besha shvati tanu. Therefore we hear that Brahman is just a partial expansion of the personality of Godhead. And it is spoken, 616, I don't know who's speaking. I am indeed all beings, and the soul and the sustainer of all beings, the supreme sound of the Vedas, and the supreme absolute truth are both eternal bodies of mine. And let me find out the context of this. Lord Ananta is speaking to Chitraketu. Okay. In this verse. Oh. What about the previous verse? The previous verse was Kapildev. It's in 86. Lord Sankarsana or Ananta is speaking to Chitraketu in 87. Tikacha. The commentary of Sridhar Swami says about this verse. Sarva bhutani aham eva bhutanan atma bhoktapi aham eva. I am indeed all beings and the soul and sustainer of all beings. Well, it says, sarva bhutani. I am Sarvabhutas, and I'm also Bhutatma. I am all beings. All beings are me. And I am the Atma of all beings. What does Atma of all Atmas mean? Bhutatma, Atmanam. Well, Bhutanam Atma. You have an idea? No, that's not what Sridhar Swami says in this case. He says, enjoyer, what's the soul? What's the relationship of soul and body? The soul controls the body, the soul enjoys the body. So the soul is the enjoyer. I'm the Atma of all Buddhas, here means, according to Sridhar Swami, I'm the enjoyer also of all beings. I am all beings, and I'm also the enjoyer of all beings. Continuing, Bhoktri Bhogyatmakam Vishwam Madh Vyatiriktam nasti ti artha. Well, In other words, let me read the translation. The commentary says, I alone am all beings, and I alone am the soul of all beings, their enjoyer. In other words, the universe, consisting of enjoyers and enjoyed, is not separate from me. That's the material world, enjoyers and enjoyed. But in neither aspect, enjoyed or enjoyer, is the material world separate from the Supreme Lord. Continuing. Yatoham Bhuta Bhavanaha. Okay, another characteristic he says, I'm Bhuta Bhavana. I'm Bhutanatma and I'm Sarvabhutas because I am Bhuta Bhavana. Yatoham Bhuta Bhavanaha. Bhutanam Prakashakam Karanam Cha. What does Bhuta Bhavana mean? In other words, after all, I am the sustainer of all beings, their manifester and their cause. Okay, that's what sustainer of all beings, or Bhuta Bhavana means. It's the one who manifested, who caused, who created all beings. So that's, there's an objection to that. Nanu. Shabda Brahma Prakashakam, Pada Brahma Karanam Prakashakam Cha. But the supreme Vedic sound is their manifester, and the Vedic supreme absolute truth is both their cause and manifester. So we got Shabda Brahma and Para Brahma. He says, oh yeah, I'm the soul of all souls, and Shabda Brahma and Para Brahma are my two bodies. The objection is no, well, but that Shabda Brahma and Para Brahma, they're the manifester and manifestors and creators of everything. Manifester means prakashaka, that which makes something visible. Two different things, to make something exist and then to make it visible. Those are two different functions. Well, how is that answered? That's answered by the Lord in this verse, Satyam. Te ube mamaiva rupe ityaha, Shabda Brahmeti. Yes, those are the causes, but those causes and manifestors, those two factors that are the cause of manifestors of everything, namely Shabda Brahma and Para Brahma, they're just, both of them are my forms. They're aspects of me. So I'm the real cause and manifester. This he says in the words beginning Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamo Be Shashvate Tanu. The word form. Word form is a confusing word. Maybe it says script. Shashvati Shashvatiyao Ityesha. The word form Shashvati, eternal, the singular form, stands for Shashvatiyao, the dual form. Shashvati. Tanu is feminine. So the forbidden suffix to be added to Shashvata is eep, you get Shashvati. But Shashvati is singular form. It's just a poetic license here. It actually should be Shashvat Yao, but that would mess up, would not mess up the reader. But anyway, here we have Shashvati. Grammatically it should be Shashvatao, actually. Shashvat Yao, dual. Okay. Atra, okay, we're done with the commentary. Now Jiva Goswami has something to add. Atra Shabda Brahmana Sahacharyat Brahmano Parabhamanopi Amshatvam Evayati. Because here the supreme Vedic sound is mentioned together with the supreme Brahman,
We can infer
that it is also a partial expansion
of the Supreme Brahman. Okay.
Sri Sankarsanas Chitraketu.
This verse was spoken by Sri Sankarsana to Chitraketu.
Commentary: Impersonal Brahman is a partial expansion of Bhagavan. The Vedas are a partial expansion of Brahman. And everything else in material existence is created from the sounds of the Vedas. Therefore, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can rightly claim Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarva Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Sri Ramanuja, in his Vedanta Sangraha, explains the meaning of Atma, soul, as a person who owns, controls, and knows a body. By that definition, everything, all phenomena of the spiritual, marginal, material energies make up the body of the Supreme Soul. By the normal definition of the word Atma, Atma is the person who possesses a body. So the Supreme Lord is soul of everything, because everything, including the jivas, are controlled and enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. So there is body. And that's a favorite image or metaphor used by Ramanujacharya. Everything comprises the body of God. We have no problem with that, but we do insist that God doesn't have a material body. It's not his. He doesn't have, God doesn't have a material body. There's still something special about his own body, whereas everything, including the material energy, is his body metaphorically. It's not literally his body. Is he speaking about
Mahavishnu?
No, he's not. He's talking more generally. He's talking about not just the material creation. The material creation and the spiritual creation, Vaikuntha, and the living entities, all of that makes up God, body of God. Okay, we're not just talking about the Vishwarupa, we're talking more generally. Everything is the body of God. That's the way Bhavanajaya presented. Any questions?
Translation Shashwati and Shashwati.
Oh.
What is
it?
Sridhar Swami is making a mistake, or what is
it? No, Sridhar Swami is pointing out that there's some liberty taken in the verse, technically not right grammatically.
In the Bhagavatam verse,
this verse is right. This is verse from 6th canto, yeah.
So,
liberty
means it is
a. Yes?
Liberty means
it's called Arshatra Yoga, that sages have a right to break the grammar rules sometimes. You know, they don't have to stick to all the grammar rules always. Arshatra Yoga. And the Bhagavatam has numerous examples of such rules that technically break the rules of, you know, words, phrases that break the rules of Pali grammar. Like this, Shashwati is singular, it should be dual. There's two bodies. Yes?
Sometimes it is done to fit the meter.
Yes.
But what are the other reasons to do this?
I don't know. I can't think of another good reason to do it. Like here, in this case, I don't know why it's done, because Shashwat Yao would be the same meter. It's one long syllable. He is also one long syllable. So there's some other reason for this. You have an idea?
Who would be the Vishnu Jnana to watch Shashwat? Then it would be
Well, but that's Shashvat with a short A, not Shashvat. I think if you take Shashvat and if you add an A at the end, then it's Shashvat. But then it's an ending of a vowel, Shashvat. Okay, I can't resolve this question here.
Also, I have two questions. The first one is about Shoji of Islamic Nation. They ended in this verse that was spoken by Shishan Kashan Chitrakir. But in our BBT translation, it's Sheshanagin. So, not the name.
Well, Sheshanagin is expansion of Sankarshan. They're practically no different. And then I was just looking at, where was I reading just now? Mention of Ananta. I guess I was looking at the, text. And the verse before this one, it called him Ananta.
I checked at the beginning of the chapter, and then he immediately said that he saw Sheshanaga.
Okay, but Sheshanaga is a primary expansion of Sankarshan.
There is one quote in Srimad Bhagavatam which says the glories of Lord Shiva. I don't know if it is the fourth canto. Says Lord Shiva is a devotee of Sankarshan, and the snake on the body of Lord Shiva is a representation of Sankarshan.
Okay.
Another shade.
Also, you said that there are few branches around.
Yes, and I think in the same verse that mentions Sankarsana, Anantashesha is mentioned together with it.
Also, I have a question. In the translation, you have that the supreme Vedic sound is there when it is manifested. It's manifested of all living beings according to context.
I'm sorry. Supreme Vedic sound is.
After all, I am the sustainer of all beings.
I'm sorry, where are you reading from? The translation or the purport? In other words, the universe is at it? No. But the supreme sound is their manifester?
Mm-hmm. I don't understand that the Vedic sound is a manifester of all living beings.
Not because creation begins from sound. Sound is the first created element. And God said, let there be light. Well, whatever, you know, creation is understood as beginning from sound.
What about
And it said in various places that the whole creation is produced by Omkara and the Vedas.
Then Omkara and Omkara manifest the Gayatri Mantra.
But we also get the statement that the whole creation of the universe comes from the Vedas, from the sound of the Vedas.
From the sound comes the ether, the ether comes the elements also.
Right, that is sound. But that's just sound in general. We're talking specifically sound of the Vedas. But sound in general comes from the first sound. The original sound is the sound of the Vedas. Yeah. It's a subtle connection, hard to trace, because on that level there's nothing to see. It's all on the most subtle level. So there's no concrete phenomena to measure. So it's hard to understand how the universe proceeds from sound. In a very subtle way it does. Okay. I mean, you can see someone building a building and see the process, but you can't see, nobody can see the process of the creation beginning from sound. It's imperceptible.
Nobody was there.
Nobody was there, and even if there was somebody there, there's nothing to see. There's nothing visible. Okay, we move on into 88. Which has only two paragraphs. The these interchanges are short, but don't think the book's going to be done soon. We're going to run into very long interchanges. And I think there's 35 files, so we still have 10 more files to read. That's not counting the Sarvas and Vadani, which is another 8 files, which we're not going to read, but I haven't finished that yet. Okay, 88. Ato Bhagavato Samyak Prakashatvad Vibhuti Nirvishesha Eva Tad Ityap Yaha. Thus, this the subject here is Brahman. Thus, Brahman is the non-differentiated opulence of the personality. Brahman is the non-differentiated opulence of the personality. I think we have to say personality of Godhead. Where is Bhagavan? We don't just translate Bhagavan as simply personality. Okay, then it could be, what's her name? Catherine Hepburn. It's also a personality. Brahman is the non-differentiated opulence of the personality of Godhead, since it is his incomplete manifestation. Remember the difference between manifestation and existence. It is him, but it's incompletely shown, manifested. And this is also stated. This is stated by Lord Matsudev, giving instruction to Satyavrata Muni in the last chapter of the 8th canto. Am I right? Yes. Madiyam mahimanam cha param brahmeti shabditam vetsyasya nubrahitam me samprashnayar vrivitam riti. Favored by me. This is Shradadeva being told by Matsudev. Favored by me, you will understand the glorious manifestation of mine, known as the Supreme Brahman. In response to your questions, I will reveal it within your heart. Okay, now, Mahimana, my glories, what does that mean? Jiva Goswami explains. Mahimanam Aishwaryam Vibhuti Nirvishesham Iti Yavat. Glories, now Brahman is the glories of the Lord. What does that mean? Glories means opulence, which in effect means his undifferentiated feature. This is his opulence with no features, Brahman. Thus, Brahman is great. The word Brahman means great. Just like in Allahu Akbar. So Allah is great. So Brahman is great. That's why it's called Brahman, all expansive. But it doesn't have any qualities. So it's the non-differentiated opulence of the Supreme Lord, his Mahimana, impersonal Mahimana. Ata eva me maya anugrahitam anugrahena prakashitam ridhi aparoksham vetsyasi. Thus you will know it by direct perception in your heart, favored by me. Anugrahitam me. So favored by me, it will be shown to you by my favor. Continuing. Twaya pritayak samprashnaya maya vrivritam iti. It will be expounded on by me because of the suitable questions made by you. So, Lord Matsya is saying that a little in the future, when we're done with this flood, then you're going to ask me some questions, and in response, I'm going to explain Brahman to you. Satu yadyapi manubhavantar bhuta eva brahmanubhava ityato nasti matatritag anubhava piksha tatapi bhakti prakashita sakshad manubhavave
tat matram bhavo nasputo bhavati. Although that perception of Brahman is included in perception of me, and so there is no need to perceive anything apart from me, nonetheless, separate perception of that Brahman is not clear within the direct perception of me that devotional service reveals. Just like the stars are there in the sky when the sun is out, but you can't see the stars. So if they want to show you stars, like in a planetarium, they turn the lights out. Otherwise, even if they project the stars on the wall, you won't see them. You have to turn the lights out. So Matsudeva is going to make a separate explanation of Brahman, because even though Brahman is there inside him, you can't see the Brahman unless you show it separately. Therefore, a separate discussion of Brahman. This is discussion of Brahman in the Sandarbhas. There is no Brahma Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami explains that in the Bhagavat Paramatma Sandarbha, we tell you everything you need to know about Brahma. It's included, so there's no need for a separate Brahma Sandarbha. Okay, further. Yadi tadiya sputatayam tavecha katanchit vartate tadat sapi bhave iti bhava. Implied by this is the idea, if for some reason you want to realize Brahman distinctly, that can also be arranged. So that's what's going to happen. Shrutadev, Satyavrata rather, will want to know something particularly about impersonal Brahman, and he'll ask questions that invite Lord Matsya to explain Brahman, because he has a particular desire to hear about it. Otherwise, there's no need to discuss it. If for some reason you want to realize Brahman distinctly, that can also be arranged. Commentary. The last chapter, even Ramanujacharya, although we generally say that devotees don't want Sayujya Mukti, Ramanujacharya defines a special kind of Sayujya Mukti that some few devotees might want. They might want to be inside God's body and somehow have some neutral relationship with him, sitting in his body. Some sages who are also devotees may have that desire. Something like Lord Chaitanya, although he was saying it poetically, let me just be a particle of dust on your feet. I don't think Lord Chaitanya actually wanted the neutrality relationship, he's just speaking poetically. But Ramanuja acknowledges that there are some Shantaras Bhaktas for whom Sayuja, merging into the body of God, is their how they express their devotion. Okay, anyway, so Satyavrata has some interest in Brahman. At least he wants to hear about it. Commentary. The last chapter of the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think the flat rice is heavy, because I think the devotees are falling asleep. The last chapter of the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam narrates the pastimes of Lord Matsya, the fish avatar of the Supreme Lord, who befriended Satyavrata Muni before he became the current founder of the human race. I need to add a comma, because if we don't put a comma, the fish avatar of the Supreme Lord, comma, who befriended Satyavrata, if you leave the comma out, it means that there are more than one fish avatars of the Supreme Lord who befriended Satyavrata Muni. Or there are more avatars. No, Satyavrata Muni had only one friend. And basically, Matsudev only has one devotee, Satyavrata Muni. He doesn't have a big entourage. Satyavrata became the current founder of the human race, Vaivasvata Manu. Lord Matsya apprised Satyavrata that the flood of devastation was imminent, and he should prepare a boat to save the seven sages and the seeds from all forms of life. He promised that after he guided the passengers of the boat to safety, in his gigantic fish form, he would enlighten Satyavrata on the topic of Brahma. So he's telling him, in effect, don't worry, you're not all going to get killed. You'll survive, and I'll not only that, I'll enlighten you about the absolute truth afterwards. Okay, any questions? Oh, yeah, any questions on this?
Talking about Sayujya, Kamalaya Kursi for Sayujya, is it that like a dust in the feet of the Lord, and like some of them are like Kaustubha Jivadil and some of them are like...
Something like that, yeah.
But or, is it the body moves? They won't be seen at all or something? What is it? Part of the body.
Maybe an invisible speck, or maybe a visible speck, but in any case, it's not recognizable. Oh, that's so and so. I used to know him. You don't recognize the speck in the body of the Lord. It may be not visible at all. It becomes as if impersonal.
We read some previous Yamichetas that the gem of the Lord is as well as Lord and. The cost of the jewel of the Lord is his body as well as his energy. Something in Chetas like it.
Okay.
So is it that also considered Sayujya, like part of the body?
I don't know. This topic isn't discussed much. Ramanuja just says something about it. It's not a well worked out topic. And we generally avoid. We in our Sampradaya, we don't have much taste for Sayujya. So we don't really talk about people got Sayujya. They're sort of, they flipped, people got Sayujya. We don't deal with them.
One more question.
Yes.
Few Anichetas back, we read Brahman as one of the quality of the Lord and one of the manifestation of the Lord.
Yes.
That means...
Well, see, that's these whole two or three anuchetas we're talking about. We were talking that Brahman is not different from the Lord, from Bhagavan. They're the same.
Yeah.
Now we're saying, from another point of view, Brahman is an amsha of Bhagavan.
Yeah. So I want to know that the devotee, as we also said, that only devotee can actually appreciate Brahman in its true sense because it's coming from.
Yes.
So, like in the case of Mahavendra Puri, he was irritated by hearing the word Brahman. Sometimes,
yes.
We get irritated in the sense of Brahman and Jiva are one. But if somebody is saying that, think about Brahman or meditate about Brahman, we don't prefer that, but we are not irritated. I hope you don't be irritated.
I think the basis of annoyance. We have nothing against Brahman. Brahman doesn't smell bad. It's not repulsive.
Yeah.
But when people give their attention to impersonal Brahman, they don't get any rasa.
Yeah.
Or maybe shanta rasa. We're not satisfied with shanta rasa. Lord Chaitanya doesn't promote shanta rasa. Everything begins with dasya in Lord Chaitanya's presentation. So it's because the shanta rasa or no rasa at all is not. Devotees are not satisfied with such a life without rasa. Not that we have anything against Brahman, but we have against a life, we have something, we recoil from a life that's near rasa, that's devoid of rasa. So that's why we're not satisfied with Brahman realization, not because we have anything against Brahman.
So when we hear the past time that the word Brahman is irritating with devotees.
It's because why are we talking about Brahma, with which we can't have an ecstatic relationship. Why are we talking about that? Let's talk about Krishna. That's why it is not. Brahma is Krishna, but it's Krishna, the form of Krishna that you can't have a relationship with. It's like, the devotees who only want to see Krishna in Vrindavan, they're not satisfied to see him in Kurukshetra or somewhere else. So we're not satisfied to see Krishna in the form of Brahma because we can't have an ecstatic relationship with him.
So the Mahadev Puri become outraged when he spoke about Brahman.
Yeah.
So that is because of his attitude, or he didn't want to be, or because he. trying to divert his attention from Krishna to Brahman, or he didn't like the word Brahman, for what reason?
I think it's the diversion that's upsetting. The fact that there's a diversion, turning our attention away from Krishna as the reservoir of pleasure, and we're thinking of Krishna as just ignorant Brahman, that gets Madhava Nikori angry. Why aren't we talking about, you know, Krishna and his loving dealing with his devotees? Yeah.
Also, he was just disturbing his disciples' incompetence in understanding, with his disciples saying that they're on Brahman.
You're talking about Ramachandra, what's his name, Puri?
Yes.
Why was Madhava Nikori didn't like that?
Well, look at the context. He's experiencing the extreme of vipralamba bhava at the point of death. It's not the time to start talking about Brahman. It's totally inappropriate. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to, someone is, even if it's not your spiritual master about to leave his body, even in a normal situation, if a devotee is in the ecstasy of contemplating the pastimes of Radha Krishna in separation, you think it's appropriate to remind him about, you know, Brahma? It's just total rasapas. It's just really bad taste. Something to get angry at. Just the rasapas is something to get angry at.
So that means I'm talking kind of technical. Like,
yes.
That means like the devotees get irritated or cannot hear the word. Jiva and Krishna saying that is kind of hatred or irritation. You don't like
Jiva and Krishna are the same.
Yeah. Like
yeah, people, so many people have been dragged to, you know, to hell because of believing that.
Yeah.
Just we get furious at hearing that because it ruined so many people's lives, that idea.
Yeah. So also, but that is not the same hatred when you hear the word Brahman. It's not the same when you hear the word Brahman. You just don't.
No, because that, the word, there's nothing wrong with the word Brahman. There's nothing false in the concept of Brahman. The concept of Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is described by great sages as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Yeah.
So Brahman is an authentic concept of the Supreme.
Yeah.
But the proposition that you are, you know, the Jiva and Brahman are absolutely the same, that's a false, egregious, offensive proposition. But the, you know, the idea of Brahman, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
As long as you use it appropriately. Words, you know, the words are not at fault, but when you combine the words inappropriately, you create rasa bhas.
So then, this last question.
Yes.
When Lord Chaitanya said that when you say the personality of Godhead as impersonal Brahman, that means you are destroying his limbs. So, you're cutting Krishna's limbs. So
what do you say exactly? What? What the Supreme Personality is?
There is a whole statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Mayavadis are.
Well, it's not wrong to say that Krishna is also the impersonal Brahman.
Yeah.
Read the Krishna Lila Stava. He begins by glorifying Krishna as Brahman,
mm-hmm.
you know, in impersonal terms. He does that for about five verses, and then he gets to the, you know, the juicy stuff after that. He doesn't stop at that. But if you say the Absolute Truth is the impersonal Brahman, period, and you don't also acknowledge his personality, then that's offensive. Or you say the personality is just secondary or illusory. We have fought with the Mayavadis, and we call them, you know, use the insulting term Mayavadi because their idea is that everything is Maya, including Krishna. And Krishna is also Maya. That's offensive.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So when we look at a Mayavadi, like if you're a devotee who cuts a Mayavadi, he'll be disgusted because he is enemies of Krishna. And maybe also look at a devotee of Vishnu or other incarnation, we also appreciate them. Second level.
Yes.
And somebody is like Brahmavadi who is not enemies of Krishna, how we see them in this regards to this two category, Mayavadi is and Vishnu Bhaktas.
Yes.
One we hate, another one we appreciate, even though we don't follow them. We are devoted to Krishna. But somebody is like Brahmavadi. He is not enemies of Vishnu or Krishna, but he just want to attract towards Brahman. So how we look at them?
If If you find one, yes.
Because in Islam, every time we hear the word Brahman, people like kind of Brahman, what is it? The word Brahman itself is like kind of.
Well, thing is, it's one thing if Madhavendra Puri in his ecstasy says he hates the word Brahman. It's another thing, in our immaturity, we act fanatically. And as soon as anybody mentions Lord Shiva, we're ready for, to fight. We become inimical to Lord Shiva, we become inimical to Brahman, Krishna's own, impersonal feature. That's immature. That's just immature fanaticism. And we get angry when devotees start talking about Narayan. I won't say who, but one of Prabhupada's god-nephews, who has a place nearby, was approached by one of our students, and Jambavan. And he presented his son, is my son, what's his name? Hanuman is his name. And so the sannyasi said, why are you naming him after a monkey? Why not name, name from Radhakrishna wheel? But, Prabhupada gave names, Hanuman, Prashik, and so on to devotees. That's, maybe I'm committing an offense, but that's not appropriate. We become offensive against Vaikuntha, against Lord Ramachandra and his devotees, because they're not up to our so-called standard, but that's immaturity. Okay. Yes.
So Brahman, is it like Arjuna wanted Krishna to show him universal form? Then said in the commentaries that his vision decayed from the vision of the spirit is not to the vision of the universal form. So in the same way, if you want to see Brahman, our vision has to be decayed from
that. Because say Sajivata is an eternal associate of Lord Matsyadev, they have a rasa, and now he wants to hear about Brahman. So anyway, yes, he's curious to hear about Brahman. He's not giving up his relationship, but he just wants to have that experience. So Krishna said, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu, I give you, divya eyes. And the Mayavadis say, oh, this is where Arjuna got his real vision. Before that he didn't have divine vision. And our guru will give you divine vision too for $30. But actually it was stepped down. It means Krishna had to cover Arjuna's eyes so that he would appreciate the universal form.
Also, Krishna showed that the universal form for the non-believers, Arjuna wanted to prove that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is Supreme Source of Godhead. But is it the case also in the case of Vaisyanathara and Kusarata Muni? Would you also show that Krishna is the same as Brahman?
Well, I don't think we have all the details of the story. I think here in this last chapter, the 8th canto, Lord Matsya tells him, I'm going to tell you this, but I don't think we have the actual instruction, do we? Because this is near the end of the chapter already. Or are the actual instructions on Brahman that he gave included in the chapter? Could be. Alright, let me open up the chapter. I can't. This one file is broken. I can't open it. A24. Anyway, I don't know the details. Exactly what Satyavata's motive was, what he was actually trying to do. I don't know. Okay, anything else? Okay, we have a few minutes, but we also have one short paragraph to finish up the other chain. Ata eva. Therefore, Sriman Uddhava has said, iti Sriman Uddhava vakya. And the statement is by Uddhava, etau hi vishvasya cha bija yoni Ramo Mukunda Purusham Pradhanam Anviya Bhuteshu Vilakshanasya
Gyanasya Cheshate Imau Paranao.
These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of living beings that control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme.
Okay. Rama, Krishna, and Balaram are the Purusha and Pradhana. It's not that Krishna is the Purusha and Balaram's material nature. That's not the idea. They're both the Supreme Lord and the source of the material nature. But there's another word here, Ganasya Cheshati Maupurano. Here's the translation. Did I read it already? Yeah. They enter the hearts of living beings that control their conditioned awareness. So there's mention not only of Purusha and Pradhana, Supreme Lord and material nature, also the consciousness of the conditioned, material consciousness of the living entities is also mentioned by the word jnana, jnanasya. So jnanasyeti eka vachanad, eka brahmaiv uchite iti. Since the word jnanasya in this verse, meaning of awareness, is in the singular form, it refers to the one Brahman. Because the living entities each have their own consciousness. Why isn't it plural? Jnana. But single consciousness is actually a reference to the to impersonal Brahman. Showing again that Brahman is another expansion, in a sense, of the Supreme Lord. Sri Matsyadeva Satyavrata. The verse under discussion was spoken by Sri Matsyadeva to Satyavrata. Let me clarify this. Brahman is not partial expansion. It's not incomplete. Brahman is the supreme truth. It's not finite. It's not just a fraction of the absolute truth. But it's the supreme truth not showing its qualities, personal qualities, that's incomplete. Incomplete vision of it, realization of it. In that sense only, it's an umsha or a partial expansion. But actually, it's no less complete. It is Krishna, but it's Krishna hiding himself. Other amshas, like the jivas, they're partial, not complete. Commentary. When Uddhava visited Vrindavan on Krishna's request, this is in the middle of the 10th canto, the first residents he called on, were Krishna's parents, Nanda and Yashoda. Intensely impressed by their selfish love for Krishna, Uddhava praised their exclusive devotion and then spoke the verse cited here, in praise of Krishna and Balaram. Consciousness is the chit factor in the spiritual substance Satchidananda, which, as the Upanishad teaches, impersonal Brahman embodies Satchidananda. So that's the chit part, that's consciousness. Brahman is thus manifest in the consciousness of every living being, in a clouded way in material conditioned souls, and uncovered in liberated souls. Okay, we're basically at it. We are out of time, but maybe one question if there's something you need. All right, two questions.
I have one question and one comment. I don't know why the Krishna Balaram came into picture now.
They just happen to be there. The example is about how Uddhava is saying that Brahman is included as part of Krishna, you know, an expansion of Krishna. And it just happens that he's talking about Krishna and Balaram. It's just circumstantially the context of the statement. Because he's talking to Nanda and Yashoda. He's very impressed with Nanda and Yashoda's devotion. So how do you please the parents? By glorifying the children.
And this one, I'm in doubt.
Yes.
Generally we say Satchitananda is Sat refers to
Brahman.
Satchit are there, Paramatman, and Bhagavan has all the three. So here the chit is compared to Brahman. What is source of...
Well, okay.
You know, Brahman is the Supreme Absolute Truth, but it includes all three. But Brahman realization, impersonal realization, doesn't include realization of the Ananda. And even chit factors is really mostly just the, it's incomplete. Different impersonalists can have different samples of incomplete realization. So for some, Brahman realization is realization of consciousness. And for some, it's just a realization of eternal existence. Yeah, so therefore, Sanghaya Karma says all that's realized in Brahman realization is the sat aspect. And the chit aspect is paramatma realization. But Shankaracharya, from the Upanishads, gets the idea that Brahman is pure consciousness. Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma. That's Taittiriya Upanishad. So that's definition of Brahman. Satyam Gyanam Anantam. Brahman is consciousness. But it's non-dual consciousness. For the Mayavadis, there's consciousness, but there's knowledge, but there's no person knowing, and there's no object known. There's just abstract knowing, consciousness. Without a person being conscious and without a thing being conscious of. The followers of Nyaya philosophy, they think that liberation means you give up everything superficial, including consciousness. For the followers of Gautama's Nyaya, a liberated soul has no consciousness anymore. It's like a dead stone. So that's only sat, no chit. But actually the Mayavadis do recognize the chit aspect in Brahman. That there's pure consciousness. There's just no objective consciousness. It's not consciousness of anything.
This quotation is according to the Shankaracharya's.
Which quotation?
Not quotation, sorry. The commentary second paragraph.
Probably coming from. Well, I'm just trying to explain, because Jiva Goswami was talking about Jnana as being a reference to Brahman. Okay, so he's... Uddhava is alluding to Brahman by talking about Jnana. The Upanishads identified Brahman as Jnana, as pure consciousness. So I'm just taking from there, you know, just following from that idea. Yes?
So, Supreme Consciousness is literally the Krishna, and become the divinities. Walls you have individual consciousness. So how we can refer to Brahman as like my own interpretation that there isn't just one Brahman.
It's an abstraction. There is a difference between the small particle of consciousness and the total consciousness, but there's a common factor. Consciousness is common to both the jiva and the Supreme Lord. So just talking abstractly, you can say that the absolute truth is consciousness. It's not the whole picture, but it's correct, it's true. You know, and in that sense, jiva and paramatma are the same. They're both conscious. But they're not absolute, they're not completely the same. There's other, we're not looking at the whole picture. What you think? Whatever shouldn't have said.
I don't know.
Okay, but Jiva Goswami is saying that. Yeah.
I cannot understand this point. How can we just walk on consciousness?
It's not just one consciousness, but in all of its individual locations, consciousness is consciousness. There's your consciousness, and my consciousness, and Krishna's consciousness, but they're all consciousness. They're all the same substance. So there's an element of sameness.
Okay.
And if we just talk about, we can talk theoretically about what is consciousness. You know, we're not talking about what's the difference between your consciousness and Krishna's consciousness. We know there's a difference, but let's talk theoretically what in general is consciousness. Then we talk singular. We're just talking on the theoretical abstract level, the idea of consciousness. So it's just that using the singular here means he's talking on that theoretical level. Not that there is no difference, but just when you ignore the difference and you just talk in theory about the sameness.
You always say that it's also possible when we speak about aggregate of all the entities, that we can also use the singular.
Yeah, or you talk, every cow has cowness in it. There's only one cowness. And that, where do you find that cowness? In all the cows. Everywhere that there's a cow, cowness is found in that cow. There's only one cowness. And if I say cowness, -ness, if I say, well, show me the cowness, I want to see it. Can't do it. You can't really separate the cowness. It's an abstraction. Like that, this single knowledge is just an abstraction. You know, not that you can say, well, again, show it to me, you know, I want to see it. But it's just an idea.
It's maybe what you can interpret this verse like really nicely.
Yeah. They do. But this is Uddhava speaking. He's a bona fide devotee. Okay. Let's stop here. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.